Well, it's good to be a Christian. How many of you plan to live forever? Let me see your hand. How many of you have already got eternal life? Let me see your hand. You know, a lot of people make the mistake when you talk about eternal life. They make the mistake of talking about eternal life in the sense of someday. But the message that I'm preaching is not for someday. As Brother Taylor says, it's for right now. It's for right now. We've already passed from death unto life. And I'm not preaching that someday I will enjoy eternal life. I'm already enjoying eternal life. Let's give the Lord a hand. I know that some of you might question that, you know. Some folks said, I don't have it now, but I do. The Bible said that I have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to that that's in the heavenly places. If I have the heavenly treasure, which is eternal life, in my earthen vessel, which is my human body, then that means that Christ within me is that hope of that eternal glory. So I have that eternal life. I've already passed from death unto life. I'm not expecting to pass from death unto life. A lot of folks say, well, you know, Brother Pike, I still feel like I got to die. Well, I don't. Let's give the Lord another hand. So if you're expecting to die, I recommend that you get born again and that you pass from death unto life. Somebody said, well, that's a good saying, but you still die. No, you don't die. It's not a good saying. It's true. But you don't die. When you come to Christ, you don't die. You never die. You never die. Somebody said, well, you must be one of them never die fellas. That's right. I'm never going to die. Let's give it all the time. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, there's a few people that they consider eccentric like they do me, and they believe the same thing I do. You know, they say that I'm a fanatic, and they say that a fanatic, the definition of a fanatic is that whatever he believes, he feels like everybody else ought to believe it, and I believe that. Give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. All right. That's the way Jesus was. He believed something. He believed that everybody ought to believe the same way he believed. And I believe he was right. All right, so we're here tonight to talk about Jesus. And there's so many things that God has given me until I could write a great volume of commentaries. And when I finished, I feel like by the time I got through with that great volume of commentaries, I'd be ready to start writing some commentaries. You love the Lord? I believe that with almost some of it. Well, you couldn't do that. The Bible said if all the things that he had done was written and put in books, the world itself couldn't contain the books. And he has shared some of that with me. He has shared some of that with me. As a matter of fact, this morning I had so many wonderful things that I wanted to say to you. But I didn't feel that I should say anything to you this morning. And at night, you're a little bit tired. And even though you have a good spirit, you have a good attitude, still people get weary at night. And it's not quite as easy to minister to them as to get them to receive like they ordinarily would. So many wonderful things in this book. This is the book of life. There's a lot of books in the world, but there is only one book of life. And this is the book of life. This is the words of life. Jesus, when the 70 turned away, he looked at the 12 and he said, will ye also leave me? And they said, where will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where will we go? And so then this is the words of eternal life. And I believed in this word, and so I passed from death unto life, and now I am alive eternally. I am alive eternally. Now I don't feel a real hunger and a thirst from you. I feel some good folks' spirit, and I feel some satisfied folks' spirit, and I feel a good attitude from you to me, and I feel like that you're waiting for me to say something. But it's like a mother, she's got a little bowl of mush and she's got the dipper in her hand. But she's waiting for the babe to open his mouth. Amen. He doesn't open his mouth very wide if he isn't hungry. And the Bible said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But if they've already been hungering and thirsting and they've already been to the cafe, then they've already been filled. And I wonder if we left any place for the Lord at all. I don't feel any real hunger and thirst tonight. I said, well, I'd love to hear you say something, Brother Pike. We come to church to hear you say something. I know that's good, and I respect that. You don't know how much I respect that, but I could convince you that what I'd say, it wouldn't get the job done. The Bible said when we speak, it's not us speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within us, and the hunger is what's going to bring the milk down. Even if you're a babe, to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And the hunger for the Word, the thirst for the Word. Did you know it has many hundreds of things that God has given me that I've never spoke to you? You know, you say, Brother Pike, you've been preaching to us for a long time, and we appreciate this, and you're our pastor, and you've said all these great and mighty things, and I think that God made at least several, over 2,000 tapes, haven't you? We got 2,500 tapes. Now, we must have said things that would fill probably 25,000 tapes. We have talked all night long, numbers of times with the brethren and hours with the wife and different people all over the world. And but we got a fragmental thing as to 2,500 tapes here where we've ministered. And that's wonderful. But I say again, out of all them things that I've said across the world and all that I've said to you, did you know that I still hundreds of things, thousands of things God has got, and so many, many things that he has shared with me that I've never even spoke to you. I've never said anything about it to you. Wonderful, deep, glorious, mysterious mysteries that I've never said to you, I've never spoke to you, I've never told you. I say this, you know, because a lot of times, I know that I got people here that they listen and they learn and they grow in the grace and knowledge which we're commanded to do. But sometimes we get the feeling, you know, like, well, we're listening, we respect our minister, and we've heard what he had to say, and we believe it. We're just going to rehearse this thing over and over. But that isn't the way it is at all. Not at all, not at all. That's why a lot of times I say you don't understand. It's not because I think you're ignorant, and it's not because I don't think you've learned anything, and it's not because I don't think that you have grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's not it at all. But when I consider the fact that all of the things that he done, if it was written and put in books, the whole world wouldn't contain it, it makes me to realize that we hadn't got what we need to get, and there's a whole lot more. You love the Lord? All right. So then, I come here to mention things to you, and they're on my heart, and I'd love to be more explicit, and I'd love to take more time. As a matter of fact, I'd love to talk all night to you. But I know that I can't do that, and I know that, you know, you have to get up and go to work and do the routines of life and whatever. But I do come expecting that you should be hungry, unless, as Brother Branham said, he said that a lot of times instead of hungering and thirsting after the Word and being filled with the Word, you go out and fill yourself with the natural food and the natural things of the world. And he said that's cruel to God, because the hunger that he gave you for the Word, you go and fill up that hunger with natural things and natural desires until you don't have any hunger and any stimulation for spiritual things. And that's bad. But I want to say a few things to you anyway. And I don't know just where we'll go and what we'll say to you, but we're going to say a few things to you. What happens is when there's no hunger and thirst, then there's no drawing as to God Almighty that he might speak. And sometimes the preacher, though he knows that, sometimes he will talk to you to try to stir up your pure mind You know, you've got a mind and then you've got a pure mind. The mind that you've got is not pure. The Bible says the thoughts of men's heart is continually evil. God looked down from heaven even after the flood, after he destroyed what appeared to be the wicked, and he found out that Noah had got drunk and things was going on that shouldn't be going on. And he said he realized that the thoughts of man's heart is continually evil. But there is a mind of Christ. It's called a pure mind. Your mind has been interwoven and entangled with sin and the mind of Lucifer. But there is a mind of Christ that is pure. And the Bible tells us to stir up our pure mind. Stir up our pure mind. And a lot of times when the preacher starts talking to you, then your pure mind gets stirred up and then you get hungry. Because that mind, that spirit always hungers for the things of God. Inasmuch as we're partakers of the divine nature, when we stir up the pure mind, you know that happened. And there is cases where I know preachers that come to the sacred desk and they just say, it's not here tonight, and they just dismiss and go home. I've known of them, outstanding ministers. But I try to wrestle around, you know, and try to at least get something over to you the best I can. All right, we're going to say something, and I say I still don't feel no hunger and thirst tonight. Let's read in the book of St. John in the 15th chapter, the first verse. And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now I'd like for you to think just for a minute now. We say, Lord, we are Christians, and Lord, we honor and obey you, and we follow you, and you know that we love you, and you know that we serve you. Now, if we was to serve him, we then would abide within him. Isn't that right? If you served him, you would abide in him. And he says, if you abide in me, you just ask what you will, and it'll be done. Now, I wonder how many of us that's here tonight that ask us of God what we will, and we always get it. I wonder how many folks we got like that. Now you would say, Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning are you talking about? I'm talking about abiding in him. Are we abiding in him? We're trying to use a little bit of thought here to discern opposition in God. Are you abiding in him? A lot of times, you know, we don't like for anybody to question our integrity with God. But are you abiding in him? Do you ask him what you will, and do you get it? Do you get it? If you do not get it, then you're not abiding in him. Because he emphatically states, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So then, someone would say, it's just like it said. It's just like it's written. He said, if you abide in me, he can't lie. What he said can't be changed. It can't be altered. There's no shortcoming on his part. He didn't fail to do it. He didn't put it out of reach. It's not anything that is far-fetched, as the world said. It's just like he said it. If ye abide in me, then ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So then, that makes us to find out how much of a Christian we really are. And that makes us to find out where we're going and where we're at. He was talking to some men. This was a man by the name of Jesus. A man that was standing on the earth, just like we're here on the earth. And this was a man that looked at some other men, and he told them this. Now, if he was a liar, then that means he could not have been the Messiah. If he was a liar, then that means that all of God's efforts were in vain. If he lied to these men, we can place no confidence in what he said at all. And if he stood there as a man and lied to other men, who would want to take up any time with him as to put confidence in what he had to say? So we know then that he did not lie. It is impossible for God to lie, and to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Here we are positive that he didn't lie. He didn't stretch the truth. He simply made a statement that is valid and very true. He just made a simple statement, just like I'd make one from here to my friend Brother Taylor, as we would say. And he told his friends and he told his disciples. This is what he told them. Now, was there anything that ever showed up in their life as to contest this? There certainly was. There was things in their life that contested it. As a matter of fact, when they went to do a certain thing, they wanted to cast out a devil. And when they got ready to cast out the devil wouldn't come out. They went to cast the devil out, but the devil wouldn't leave. And then when Jesus came, Jesus cast the devil out. And then they were all baffled. They couldn't understand because he had told them this, and they accepted him at what he said. They believed what he said as to their conviction. And that's the way it is with us. We believe what the Lord says. So far as we're concerned, it is exactly the way he said it. We believe it. We don't question it. It's just that way. But consequently, it don't happen for us the way he said it would. What causes this? What causes that? It's like I was telling somebody today, where the problem is we are too much of a make-believer. We as religious people, now I'm not talking to them out in the world, for they've never been converted to Christ. And yet what I say as to one and all that they should come to Christ and should be in this condition as to ask and believe. But nevertheless, I'm speaking to the church. See, what we do, we make believe. And the same thing that happens to us in the sense that these things don't take place in our life is the same thing that will happen to us when we stand before the judgment of God and we are expecting to be led into the joys of the Lord, and we suddenly hear him say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." We suddenly hear the Lord express himself to us, and we find out that all the time we've been make-believers. What causes this? It's because we do not live holy. We do not walk holy. We do not talk holy. We do not make any efforts to conform to the ways of God. We do not make any efforts to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. We don't follow Christ. We don't deny ourselves. We don't give of that which we have, of our substance and of our strength and of our time. Speaking in general of people, Paul said, "I say, I or we," that is to keep from saying you, he said. So then God speaking to all of us as humanity. So then what is the problem? We're make believers. We eat, we drink, we go, we don't pray, we don't fast. We don't seek after God. We don't study the word. We don't know exactly what he said about it. We don't know exactly what he wants us to do. And if we do come to that, then we don't do it. We don't yield to holiness, though the Bible says that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And he said for us to be holy in body and in spirit. But we don't make any effort to be holy in body. We don't withdraw from the world, even though he said, come out from the world. Come out from the world. We go big time in the world. You know, we continue on the world. We're busy in the world. We're going to be a celebrity in the world. We're going to have a career in the world. We're going to have education. We're going to have money. We're going to process our children. We're going to see that they have the best in life. We're going to have securities. We're going to have businesses. All these kind of things we're going to do. We're going to look like the world, and we're going to dress like the world, and we're going to fellowship the world, and we're going to be part of the world. We're not going to come out of the world. Though he said come out of the world, yet we say that we are believers. But see what it is, we make believers when we do that. Then when we call on God and when we want something, then we don't get it because we're make believers. And so far as eternal life, we're confessing something that we don't have when we do like that. We're confessing something that isn't there because we're still make believers. And we're making believe that we are Christ-like as to saying we're Christians, carrying that title, when it means to be Christ-like. In Antioch, they were first called Christians because they were Christ-like. So then we see in this that when we come before God, or when the race is finished, or when our work, as we say, is done, and we go to meet our Creator, then we don't have eternal life. And then God turns us away. Why? Because all of our life we were make believers. We didn't deny our tempers. We didn't deny our jealousy. We didn't deny our selfishness. We didn't deny ourselves at all. We didn't take up a cross to follow him. Where he was as to his sufferings and self-denial, he said, if you're my disciples, you'll be there too. But we didn't do that as a people. We haven't done that in the past. We're still not doing that. And the future, it shows that we're not going to do that because millions of people are going to be turned into hell. So then being make believers, we're then not believers. And so then we are not abiding within him. For if the word abides within you and you abide within the word, which means if I know the word and I let the word live within my heart and then I abide in the word in that I incorporate this into my life and live according to the word and I go the way of the word and I do the things the word tells me to do. And daily I'm conforming to the word and daily I'm doing the things that the word tells me to do. Then am I abiding in the word. He said, ask what you will. It'll be done to you. It'll be done to you. Folks, there's a place that you can walk that God will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll answer every prayer that you pray. He will do everything that you ask him to do. Everything. The Bible said, everyone that asketh receiveth. That is, if we ask according to his will. The Bible said if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him because we do the things that please him. Hereby we assure our heart, and this is our confidence, that he heareth us, and we know that if he heareth us, then we have the petition that we desire of him. So then, when we say we abide in the word, and we're asking God, and God will answer us, and God will give us the desires of our heart. Then when we pray and don't get it, that means that we have lied. That means we're not abiding in the word. Because he said, everyone that asketh, if they ask according to the will. And then we say, well, what is the will? Well, the word of God is God's will. See, as it is written of me, O God, the word made flesh, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So then the word come forth as a body, as flesh and bone. And so we see that the will of God is his expressions, his word. The Son of God that dwells in the bosom of God hath declared God, or made God a declaration as to human concept. So faith cometh by hearing, and the faith is manifested by that which we do. When we do the thing that pleases God, then we know that we believe, and God knows that we believe. If I say, repent every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you honor me and then you obey me, you do that, then that proves that you are a believer. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter what you have to say, you are an unbeliever. All right, so then, the will is his word. And what does his word tell us? That we're to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. His will is that we be holy and that we be righteous, and he has expressed that to us. His will is for us to come out from among the people of the world and the things of the world and be a separate people. His will is that we be holy in body and in spirit. And on and on and on his will goes. Now, if we ask according to his will, that is to say, if we are doing according to his will, abiding within the word, or in him as the word, and his word, or he abiding within us as Christ, the hope of glory, then we are in his will, and his will is in with us, within us, and we are walking in his way, and we are asking according to his will, and we get the very desires of our heart. And whatever we ask of God, he giveth to us, and everyone that asketh receiveth. All right, let's give him a hand, can we? So then we see the error is not with God, but it's with man. Now, I speak to you as to the elementary things. Whereas I'd love to talk to you about the deep mysteries of God. Paul spoke of being a steward of the mysteries. And he said, I would that you be spiritual, because I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. But seeing that you're bathed in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word. Or going back to the first of the oracles, or to the principles, we again speak to you as unto babes, telling you these things here. That these simple elementary things, as it would be as compared to the great wisdom and understanding of the mysteries, here we see that these elementary things that I'm speaking to you about is things that we have to come to when we feel like we're so advanced and so great, having moved on in the mighty things of God, and yet we feel when we understand, we suddenly learn that we're not even moving along as to just what the word says, as to ask of God, or being in the will of God, or abiding within God. See, we're not even in that place. If we look at it as to the benefits that we're drawing from our prayers and what we're asking. All right, so what causes this? The same thing as I said tonight. Not feeling a hunger and thirst for the word of God. Now, I feel your attention. You're listening to me, and I'm bringing you some elementary things here. And really, nothing's elementary in Christ, but it's elementary as to going on. Paul said to perfection, leaving the foundation of repentance and these kind of things. Now, let us go on to eternal judgment, resurrection of the dead, and these kind of things. Go on to understand the deep mysteries of God. See, but though I don't feel any hunger from you, yet I do have your reverence, and I do have your attention, and I am a minister, and God does speak to me. So then I can teach you and tell you these things, because Paul said I'm a preacher and a teacher. See, but still the thrill of the minister is when you're drawing as to the mother when the milk comes down and the relief of her body when the milk is taken out. See, as to that which is of the ministry, when the minister is satisfied, it is when he pours out his very soul. As Brother Thomas said this morning, I like what I say, because when it goes to you, you know, it makes me feel good. So then when you draw from the breast of El Shaddai and you bring the milk out, the word meaning breasted one, in that when you bring the milk out to nourish even as babes, then comes that thrill and that stimulation, that wonderful relief that comes through you and I, in that he said, if the Spirit be in you, he shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth within you. And if you have not his Spirit, then are you none of his. God is a spirit, one spirit. And you're born to that spirit. And if you don't feel the quickening of God, the stimulation of God, the hunger and thirst as to that nature, then you're not partakers of that divine nature. All right. So then you lose your joy, as we say, even if you've come to acknowledge God. You lose the joy of salvation. You draw healing, divine deliverance, salvation. You draw it out of the wells of salvation with joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So then your joy is knowing that you have eternal life, or having God, or that the Lord is your fellow, or that the Lord is on your side, that the Lord is blessing you, that the Lord hears you, that the Lord walks with you, that the Lord takes care of you and protects you, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart, and the Lord provides for you, and that's your joy. The Lord is your joy. The joy of the Lord, having the Lord, or the inspiration of the Spirit as to Christ within the body of Jesus, that Christ is within us, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we get to where we feel that we're not honoring God, and we're not going on with God, and we feel that God is contrary to us, and we're contrary to God, in that he said, if you walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you, then we get cast down. We get cast down. It becomes a gloomy day. You know, and we read the scripture, and we read such scriptures. That's where the Bible said, if you do that which is right, then God will rejoice over you to bless you and to make you a great people. But if you do not do that which is right, then God will rejoice over you to destroy you. And so then we get to thinking, the Bible says God will rejoice over us to destroy us. And then we get in the on the opposite side of the thinking toward faith. See, and sure enough, our believing becomes of such that we are drawing the wrath of God. Because the Bible says if you abide in unbelief, then the wrath of God abides upon you. So then we say, well, that's what the Bible says. We have to believe that. But see, what we don't stop to realize is that though the Bible said that to the unbeliever. It said that to the disobedient. It said that to those that were going astray. We that are stumbling and staggering and trying to do our very best. That is not for us. That is not for us. I'm trying to do my best. I'm a Christian. Why should God rejoice over me to destroy me? But we get our minds all warped up. We get boggled down in our minds, and then we have God warring against us as we think, and we're warring against him. How can we ever get anything from God? How can we ever have God to help us? Because there's a continual warfare between the body and the soul anyway, and we've let the devil deceive us in that he's even taken the scriptures to do it with. So then we've got to walk circumspectly before God. We've got to do the things that please God, that the devil doesn't get an advantage to come to us with those scriptures to put us down and to charge us with something that we're not guilty of. For the Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. Why should I listen to those scriptures that come to me, that puts me down and tells me that God's going to pursue me till I perish from off the face of the earth? For the Bible said God will pursue the wicked till I perish from off the face of the earth. See, and we get in a conglomeration of a mess because we get all out of sorts in our minds. And folks, it's like a musical instrument. As long as the strings are thus, or as long as it's in tune, it brings out beautiful music. But when it gets out of tune, it's just a lot of noise, and that very unpleasant. So then we need to walk with the Lord, and we need to stay in tune with God, and we need to pray, and we need to fast, we need to study the Word, we need to conform to the way of the Lord, do the things that please God, so that our thinking will always be that God rejoices over us to bless us. Because doesn't he rejoice over a Christian to bless them? Because your little child, as I say so often, went out and played in the mud, are you going to rejoice over the little child that you might destroy it? And yet the little child could just go all to pieces, as we say, because some people are so ignorant. They speak so harshly to the child. And they say, I'll knock your brains out. You know, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. See, but if it's a real mother and the love of a mother is in there, she's not going to injure that little child. She'll have to correct him. She'll have to clean him up. She'll have to start all over, as we say. I'm just simply saying one thing is the devil uses these things and he's got an approach. He comes to you and he quotes the scripture to you just like he did Jesus when he said it is written. And he was trying to use the scriptures to persuade Jesus to destroy himself. Because he knew that Jesus was a human being. And he recognized him as the Lamb of God. He had heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And there's one among us whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. So then we realize that the devil uses the scriptures just like the Holy Spirit uses the scriptures. Satan also knows the scriptures and he uses the scriptures. And when we don't do what the minister says and we don't incorporate these things in our life and we don't stay away from the beaches and the frolics of the world and the non-virtuous things on TV and the non-virtuous things on the newsprint and whatever it might be in the newspapers, when we don't stay away from those things and books that are obscene or whatever, then is when we get in trouble. See, then is when we program our mind wrong. Then is when we get the feeling under condemnation. Then is when we feel a distance to Christ. And then when we start grasping for faith, we hear something say, "And as I have rejoiced to bless you, I will rejoice over you to destroy you." When we're a child of God, when we've stumbled and when we've erred, we still run into this. See, because we were lighthearted, because we didn't really get down to business and we just wobbled about and let little things come in. The Bible said that the little foxes spoil our vines because our vines have tender grapes. So then these things come in, and the first news you know, we are warring with God Almighty. Warring. We're trying to get a prayer through and we can't get a prayer through because we feel like God don't love us anymore. And God is now our enemy and God won't listen to us. You know, and why do we do that? It's because of the lack of faith. We don't have any faith in God. Why is it we don't have any faith? Because we didn't do the thing to please him, to convince our conscience that we might have confidence toward God. See, I know when I was a boy, and my dad would say, "Don't you do that. If you do that, I'm going to tan your hide." And then I think, I ain't going to get in trouble. And when my little boyfriend would say, "Let's do this." I've been caught like that a number of times. "Let's do this. Let's climb over this fence and get in this fence orchard. And man, look at the pears and look at the apples. Ain't nobody going to see us." No defense, we'd go. And sometimes I'd get hung up. I don't know if you've ever done that. Not rip the clothes. And I thought, oh my, there's a testimony against me right there. Because when my mama sees that, she's going to know how that happened. Sometimes I'd lose my shoe running because I'd hear a shot and I'd think, sure, the man was after us, going to shoot us, and here we'd go. You know? And then I'd be in trouble. I have fell flat on my face, sometimes fall into the creek or whatever. And when I get home, I'd be a muddled up mess. And I didn't have no way to explain it to my mama, to my dad. And then when the man next door, wherever he was, had a little communication, all this got back around and somebody had been into the orchard, and then we'd get over here. And my dad would find out that I was in that thing because he'd start questioning me. Then there I was. Me and my dad had a warfare. I thought, man, he's going to turn me up. Daddy's going to get me. See, and the one that should have been my friend, and the one that I leaned on, the one that instructed me, and the one that offered his love and advice and consolation, here he was now my enemy, and I was just, you know, just like that. And as I've told you, I had a mother that she would just like a little hen over the biddies. If Daddy went to whip us, she'd just get upset, and my, she'd just fly all over him. But my daddy was cunning and crafty enough in doing that. Paul said, "Being crafty, I caught you with guile." Daddy just let Mom be very calm and be very calm with me till he'd lead me by the hand into the back room and lock the door. And then he'd cut down on me and Mama could beat and beat and holler and say whatever she wanted to, but Daddy just kept on whipping till he was satisfied. See, I said all of that to say this. that when we get out of bounds with our Heavenly Father, when we go contrary, when we get all muddled up with the world, when we get boggled down, as Brother Thomas said this morning, see, when we slow down and stop and get our minds on the world, then we get stuck and we get boggled down, as he said, and it's hard to get started off again. And it's all because that we have been contrary to God, that God is contrary to us. Because God doesn't want to be contrary to us, how can somebody that took the blood out of their veins to die for us be contrary to us? He cannot be contrary to us, only in the sense that we went contrary to him. Isn't that right? That's the thing, to be contrary to him. See, God is just one way, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. An eternal love, an eternal life, an eternal concern about you and your welfare. But if you go contrary to that, then that means it's contrary to you, because you're just exactly the opposite of what this thing is speaking of, because of what you've done, and you've got your conscience all defiled and you're all out of shape. Paul said, I strive always to keep a conscience void of offense toward man and God. And this, of course, shows up when we go to ask. When we say, Dad, let me have the car. No. No. I said, well, Dad, I want to go somewhere. Maybe you've never been through this. He says, no. And somebody says you're restricted and you can't go in 2 days, in 3 days, or 2 hours, or 4 hours, whatever it is. You know, and you think, well, Danny, you're my friend. But see, right then and there, you've got problems. And it wasn't Dad at all. He's done the thing that he was supposed to do. The Bible said, chasten the child and correct the child and you'll save his soul from hell. He's done what he was supposed to do. He's still a good dad, though we don't think so. The mother is in the same condition. All right, so I said all that to say this. Why is it that we do not get what we ask for? It's because of you and I. It's our contrariness. It's our frivolousness. It's our desire for the world and our love for those things and enticement for those things out there that we don't need to be messing with. Why do you get poison ivy all over you? It's because you mess with poison ivy. Why do you get drunk? It's because you drink whiskey. Why do you get out of your head? It's because you take dope. Why is it that you run into somebody out here? It's because you ain't looking where you're going. The Bible said, watch and pray. Isn't that right? See, somebody said, well, I was looking. Somebody run into me. Well, that's what I said. Somebody wasn't looking at where they're going. Let's give the Lord a hand. It might be you next time. It was them this time. But it fits the bill. You're not looking at where you're supposed to be looking. Neither are you praying. A lot of times you're not praying. You might be looking and not praying. You might be praying and not looking. But the Bible said, watch and pray. And especially watch and pray lest you enter into temptation, and pray that God will lead us not into temptation. And I have hundreds and thousands of things I need to say, but I'm going to have to stop in just a few minutes. As I said to my wife today, you know, people get the concept that God has marked 17 years for Brother Taylor and 14 years for Brother Pike and 25 years for Brother Richard out here. And when it comes down to like tick, tick, tock, down to the clock, down to the time, he smites them. Folks, that's not the way it is at all. But that's our ignorance. That's the way we think. That's the way we feel. And we go through life and we feel like we know everything. We know all about it. We don't need no instruction because we know. Because that's the way it is. Because we think that's the way it is. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But that's not the way it is. Not at all. In the first place, God lets you as a sovereignty go through life. And whatever you do with your life, that's what happens to it. Some people take care of their health and take care of their life and they live longer than others. God didn't swat them like a fly. Neither did God mark up their days so that it would come to an end. He gave them a life. It's their sovereignty. Whatever they do with it, then that's them. Some use their life up quick. Some don't use their life up quick. See, so it is a true fact that God has said in the scriptures that our years shall be 70, 70 and 10. But it is also true that God said, and some shall live longer by reason of strength. Like Brother Thomas this morning, 88 years old. There's Ms. Gray out there, she's probably 88 or somewhere along in there, about the same age. See, it depends on how you handle your life, how you handle your health. Now, you understand what I'm saying? All right, somebody said, well, I know that. No, you don't know it. You just think you know it because I'm not through yet. All right. So then, it is the way that you handle your sovereignty as to your natural life, as to your spiritual life. It's all running the one and the same as in heaven, so in earth, as in the spirit, so in the world. So then, it's the way that you handle it. Now, you can shorten your days by your disobedience. So then you do the thing that's wrong, and then God cannot protect you as he ordinarily would. You do the thing that's right, he might add 15 years to your life like he did to Hezekiah. See, you do the thing that's wrong, he might smite you just like he did Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh, though he raised him up for that purpose, he kept doing wrong, he kept being in rebellion, and finally the Lord smote him because he was interfering with the work of God. And again, as Brother Thomas said this morning, when he faced a man, and this man and he had a clash, and he warned the man mocked it, and the man went home and died. See, you shorten your days by your disobedience, because as God blesses and adds strength to help you protect yourself, even if you've got sick, even if you have let your body run down, even if you've been careless, and ordinarily would die because you haven't used wisdom with your sovereignty of life, then because you are a Christian, maybe calling on God, or because you've done something, God will come and help you, and God will give you a few more days, or God will heal you, and your life is extended. And as Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, he warned him. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, as to the other way of life, as to wickedness, he said, I would that you heed the words that I say. I'm giving you a warning from God. I'm interpreting your dream. Why not do what I'm telling you and have extension of life and a blessing as to the tranquility of your life, the lengthening of your days? But he wouldn't listen to him. See, I'm saying that you might do wrong, and in doing wrong, you might have had more years if you just went on as a sovereignty. Your health might have been all right. You might have lived longer. But you keep interfering with God, and you keep going contrary to God to injure other people and to encroach upon the rights of others. And finally, God has to do something, and so your days are shortened by your disobedience. Satan comes in on you and he takes advantage. It's all a serve yourself way of life. It's whatever you do. See, it's a serve yourself way of life, whether it be in the spiritual, as to a 30-fold, as to a 60-fold, as to a 100-fold, as to going on to a full reward, or going on to the full measure, the full stature. It's up to you. Some men apply themselves and they go on. Paul said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. See, that is to say, going on with the Lord, some of you don't do that. Some of you, you don't have time to do that. You'd rather eat, drink, frolic, have the world, do the things of the world. And if you can just get in, as we say, by the skin of the teeth, that's all right, as long as you don't go to hell. That's foolishness. That's crazy. You know, that's crazy, and that's out of reasoning. When you think of all the great, wonderful things that you could have, but somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you go to heaven, I go to heaven, we all go to heaven, so what? But that isn't the way it is. That isn't the way it is at all. I tell you again that some people will be sitting on a throne up there. And the Bible said every man will be rewarded according to the deeds done in the body. There will be some that's so magnificent and so great and so far surpassing others in those things up there until the way that you think is altogether out of control as to your mind and understanding. So then we see that God says, and this man shall have the greater damnation. And he said, this man hath received the greater blessing. And he said, as to Judas, it would have been good if this man had never been born into the world. And then he said, and there's some that's never known the depths of Satan. As to the punishment, as to the damnation. All right. So then if we abide in him, if we do what he tells us,
The Bible said that godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. And if we do the things that he tells us to do, then the Bible said all of his paths are peace. And if we keep our minds stayed upon Christ Jesus, we shall have perfect peace. And the Bible teaches the joy of the Lord will fill our heart. And the joy as to wine making the heart merry, giving to you of the new wine, that you will draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. And that with this, a merry heart will do good like a medicine. Making you to ride upon the high places of the earth, giving you the desires of your heart, the blessing of the Lord, making rich and adding no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Making thee to be like a tree that's planted by the waters, that is to bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth his sins and then forsaketh his sins, the Bible said, whatever he does shall prosper. All right, to walk in his way, to ask of him, to abide within his word, then we can have the desires of our heart. We can delight ourselves in him. We can tell him what we want. Whatever we ask in his name, he will give it to us. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And when we ask according to his will, we know then that he hears us. And the Bible said if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition that we desire of him. For the Bible speaks of fasting and praying to make your voice to be heard on high. He told him on one occasion, he said, you fast and you pray to smite with the fist of wickedness. The debates and all the things of this world is to have glamour and fame and money and popularity to achieve a purpose. You do not fast, he said, as you do this day when you saw real repentance as to make your voice to be heard on high by God. See, and the Bible said when you deal your bread to the hungry, and then you help the needy and the poor, and you clothe the naked, and you take them that are in need into your house, then shall thy health return unto thee speedily. So that tells us what has happened to America. Selfish, greedy, their health gone. For then shall thy health return unto thee speedily. And the word of God is settled in heaven and cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. He watches over his word. He hastens to perform it. So then shall your health return unto you speedily. And your light shall go before you, being the light of the world, that men may see your good works. And that is your light, your good works. And then the Lord will hear you from heaven, and before you even call, it shall come to pass. I will answer. That is, I've already got it laid up for you. And I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive, or that is, you'll have to share it with another. Your cup will run over, your presses will burst out with the new wine. Whatever you do will be blessed and prosper. So we see then there's many things that we need to know. There's many things that we need to understand. Many hundreds and thousands of things that we need to understand to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the understanding so that we be not children that's just blown about by every wind of doctrine. In every wind of doctrine we are not just blown to and fro by this, but we are established and founded on a rock and anchored in the truth of God. So we find out that God has blessed us. God has given us this understanding. He's made it available. But if we're not hungry, if we're not thirsty, then we don't get it. And even tonight, as I speak of the minor things, as we would say, or the elementary side of it, even this is a problem to get it over to you because you're not hungry. You're not thirsty. You have no desire for these things other than the fact that when you hear them, oh, I like to know about that. That sounds good. I'd love to understand that. But that's all there is. See, but that's not hungering and thirsting after the word. That's not hungering and thirsting after the word at all. But when you get the word, this means more to you than natural life. When you get to where you're so thirsty, like David of old said, my heart panteth after thee like that of the heart after the water brook. That is the heart that runs to and fro after the water brook, as the deers, or the, as we would say, as they that run to and fro in the hot sun panteth after the water brook when they're thirsty. So doth my heart pant after thee, God. I hunger, I thirst. And this is the way it's supposed to be.
This is the way it's supposed to be. If you don't have that kind of attitude, if you don't have this kind of attitude as to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. That was David's way. And when he made the statement, he said, and I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Just make me a doorkeeper. All right, so then we see these things. There's many other things that I would like to have said tonight. A number of other things is to just explain a few of the elementary things. But I see that there's just no hunger to be there tonight. No staring among you. And as I say, you get in a state of complacency. And when you get like that, there is really nothing that you get from God. Let's everybody stand together. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, just teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing that with me. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, that teach me, Lord, to wait. The altars are open as we sing. God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow. God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, then God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my heart. Sing it with me. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. When it looks like the sun shining low, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Sing it with me. Oh, God. God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun gonna shine more, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Can you sing with us? Let's sing this little chorus. I am going to the city. Where? Sing this chorus. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a child that's been set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor. I claim Jesus first and that for me. I claim Jesus first of all. God will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm His child who set me free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first and that love for me. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond. All I need we don't want your gold and silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for me. Everything.
Can you sing one more time?
So I don't want no gold and silver, and I don't want no worldly fame. All I want is the love of Jesus for me.
God's everything. One more time.
So we don't. Your gold and silver. And we don't need no diamond. All we need is the love of Jesus. God's my everything.
You love the Lord? Let's sing another chorus or two and we'll let you go.
When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, this life is over. Run my burdens out and lift it. And I stand upon the mountain, also tall, looking over into that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Across the bridge, bearing no more sorrow.
Sing that with me.
Across the bridge, there's no more strife, and will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin, done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love. It's true. He said, across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. Said, across the bridge, there ain't no more strife. And the sun's gonna shine across. And I'll never be unhappy.
Can you sing it for me one more time?
Set across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. across the bridge, there's no more strife. Harvest sun's gonna shine across the ridge. And I'll never be unhappy again. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Lord is good to us. He is so good to us. Can you sing this little chorus with me?
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands.
Sing that with me.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Oh, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call it set up, son. Can you sing it with me? Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last.
Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. I was just thinking again today how near supper time it really is. The call for supper time up in glory. I noticed that, I believe it was Egypt, was it, that said they would not let there, as to be 20,000 troops, I believe they said, participate as to war, unless there's more done as to seek peace. Bo, America has given them, I guess, millions, maybe billions of dollars. That's still their attitude. And you can't get upset in that you'd love to see peace and you don't want to see people slaughtered. You don't want to see death. You don't want to see people killed. And so then you are searching in your mind of how to judge a situation. And yet you wonder why it is that people who eat at your table will not be your ally when it comes down to problems. I know for sure there was a lot of hungry people in Egypt as to wanting salvation, wanting the word, because we passed out many, many pieces of literature, testified to people, was received real well. And even riding down the road at high speed, if you just stuck a track out the window, they would at high speed run by and grab it to get it, one right after another. And so then I know that there's people that want Christ. And I also know that some of those people over in that country, they're women folk, still dressed like ladies. And I know that don't have anything to do with the heart and the sense that a person can be in sheep clothing and still be an inward ravening wolf. But I do know that there has to be principles or they wouldn't dress like that to begin with, and the men won't allow them to dress otherwise. And even when America offered her worldly entertainment as her harlots and prostitutes to go over there and entertain them, they wouldn't have that. They said, we don't want that. But America is drunk off of the cares of life. And she lets the women as prostitutes and the men as whoremongers dance and shout all over the stages and holler and scream, and they go wild with lust and contaminate their lives and defile the temples of God as to the human body and bring the wrath of God upon them as a people and as a nation. Whereas the Bible uses the terms that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And in that America has been a very gracious, righteous nation as to her degree of knowledge in the past, striving and trying to come to something that was greater. Even as Israel in their early life, when they listened to the prophetical utterance of the prophets and God prospered them. They that believe my prophets shall prosper, he said. So has America prospered. But now America has become very corrupt. Her women and men has become prostitutes and whoremongers. And they dress that way. They're a generation of vipers, a generation of lustful people, an adulterous generation, the Bible said. Curses mother, daddy, disobedient to parents, wearing things, printed things on their shirts and their clothing that's inviting us to evil and being wretched. The hearts are filled with malice and jealousy and gossip and backbiting and fault finding to tear down, to reproach everything that's decent and holy and godly that you would try to establish. And so her end has come, as she hath represented the days of the Gentiles being the leader of the nations. Her end has come. And even Mr. Bush, which represents the end, is being reproached on every side and losing his popularity. And so then nations like Egypt boldly stand up and say, we'll not be confederate with you in your efforts. So it's a bad situation. The end of the world is here. For even as Peter saw it at Calvary, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The harvest is come and gone. It's over. And the winter is here. And the summer's past. And as the Bible said, you're not saved yet. Though we say we're saved, and the Bible said we come to the house of God, and we delight in hearing the word, and we approach as those that have not done wickedly, and as those that love the Lord. But he said, preacher, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins, though they take delight in approaching unto me as those that have not done wrong.
But he said that he knew that they had done wrong. He knew that they wasn't right. For we said tonight, if you abide in me, my word abides in you, even as the early church, they ask what they will. And God done it for them. He met all of their needs according to his riches and glory. He healed their sick bodies. The people marveled at him, and the people glorified him, and the people magnified him. The people didn't come down on him in the sense of putting him down. They magnified him. There was the abasement and the jealous people and those that were afraid that they were going to overthrow their kingdom that come against them. But the people as a whole had great respect for him, as is Jesus. Though they despised him, a man of sorrow, despised, rejected, yet the Bible said he grew in favor with man and God. The people loved him. They magnified him. So it tells us where we're living today. And as I said, just a little exhortation tonight as to the elementary things to try to get you to understand so that you will apply yourself and you will create a thirst and a hunger. That way you will come to the house of God looking for the wonderful, deep things of God to go on into the Spirit and receive the great rewards of God that he hath for them that follow him. All right. We're going to sing this little chorus together while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up. Enjoyed today with you. Enjoyed Brother Thomas bringing the message. I hope this that we brought tonight will be beneficial to you. A lot of times the Lord allows things to go on TV, or the Lord allows things to go on the radio that will help the people. And since they're still on the milk of the word, he has me just to bring a little exhortation message every once in a while so that they can get a hold of it. Working all things after the counsel of his own will, having his way in all things. All right, let's sing this together, can we? And I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory again. For his blood has washed away. Sing it again now. And I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. Once again, I will praise him. While we're praying, singing together, we'll ask Brother Eugene Nix to come up and dismiss us, if he will. And while Eugene is coming, let's praise the Lord. Let's search our heart, examine ourselves, and see if we've been in the faith tonight. Let's don't make believe and too late find out that we don't have faith in God. But folks, let's do the things that please him to assure our heart that we might have confidence that he hears us, that we might have eternal life. And we sing it again. So I will praise him. Praise.